Pastor Randall, and yeah, we've been hitting you with a lot of information this morning, but for good reason. We wouldn't say it if we didn't think it was beneficial to our walk with Jesus and to each other. I'm wondering if anyone's ever seen some pictures like we'll see here. They're called, generally the caption we put on it is, "You're doing it wrong." So go ahead, Alyssa, and throw some of these up here. So here's some parking mistakes. Next, train track gone wrong. Next, okay. So there's some traffic relating things. What about driving? You ever seen someone drive wrong? Okay, so there's one. Here's another. That is not the way to park at all. That is definitely not the way to park. What about like construction and do-it-yourself stuff? I do not recommend that at all, okay? They are doing it wrong, all right? I don't think you're going to have friends sit out with you if that's your balcony. And finally, a church who I think is doing their song, their sign wrong there, so... Each one of these, I don't know, I have a weird sense of humor. I think that stuff is funny. Maybe you don't, but each one of these shows something or someone who's taken something and used it for something other than its intended purpose or its intended design. You know, we can laugh, but what if that was your church? Or what if it was your car? Or, like, you know, you were in charge of the railroad and that, you know, you had to talk to a supervisor, or that was your parking lot, or let's maybe go one step further. What if you were the foreman on a job for some of those first pictures with the sign right in the middle of the parking spot, the post right in the middle of the train track, the balcony? What if you're the foreman for that, and you told your worker exactly how he or she was supposed to do it, and they knew you laid it out, you gave the supplies, everything, how to do what they need to do. And when you walked away, someone else came along and gave them the exact opposite directions. And when you came back, that's what you found. Okay? What if that was your worker? What if that was your kid? Okay? Or a relative? You'd be mad or you'd be upset. You'd be thinking, who are these other people? Who did you? Don't you? That's exactly the backstory of the book of Galatians. We're starting into a series for the next number of months called Jesus Plus Nothing. And we're going to be looking at the book of Galatians, and that's exactly what happened with the Galatian churches. Now, Paul was a guy who wrote a good chunk of the New Testament, most of the New Testament. And he, on a missionary journey, had planted a number of churches. And some of these churches were located in the province of Galatia, hence the Galatian title to the book. And he had planted them with a good gospel, the real gospel. The word gospel means good news. And so the good news of Jesus means that we are set free. We are free. We have freedom in Christ. Set free from the bondage, the weight of religiosity and rules and regulations. We are set free. And Paul, sometime after that, had learned that others had come in and taught something else. They had taken Jesus and added something to Jesus. So now the gospel that this Galatian church was living out was Jesus plus Judaism, or Jesus plus legalism, or Jesus plus good behavior, or Jesus plus church attendance, or Jesus plus religion, or Jesus plus traditionalism, or Jesus, you can add anything you want there. Jesus plus anything is not the gospel. It's a false gospel. Jesus plus nothing is good news. Jesus is everything. We don't need anything more than Jesus. So let me give you a little bit of background on Galatians. You'll see it up here on the screen. This is taken from the Life Application Bible to refute the Judaizers. So these were Jews who became Christians but wanted to stick to a rules and regulation kind of religion. And so Paul is writing against these people. And it's written by Paul. There's no scholarly, you know, we know it's written by Paul. No one can refute that. date written, it was approximately AD 49. It's really important. That might seem like it's not all that important, but it's before the Jerusalem Council. What the Jerusalem Council was, it was where church leaders came from all over the known world, wherever Christians had spread, especially in Jerusalem, and came together and decided once and for all, what is the gospel? Is it Jesus plus Jewish tradition, or is it Jesus plus nothing? Do non-Jewish people need to become Jews first, become circumcised, learn and obey the law before they come to Jesus? It was a big debate back then. And so it's important that we understand that Paul is writing before there's an official council that says, no, Jesus plus nothing. So there was debate and false teaching and all sorts of stuff going on. So the setting is it's a tense situation, and there are people in the church who are believing a false gospel and living something other than what Jesus taught and died for, other than what Paul preached to them. When we get down to it, it's really an issue of law versus grace. It's law versus grace. It's legalism versus freedom. So you can see that on the screen, the next slide there. Law versus grace. And most people falsely believe that church and Christianity is religion, and that we're about do's and don'ts and what we can't do and the limits and the boundaries, and we can't go out drinking and we can't do this, and God wants to spoil our fun. But it couldn't be further from the truth. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that he sets us free from the bondage of sin. And he sets us free to be holy. He sets us free to good things. He sets us free to receive blessings and all that he has for us. He sets us free to full life. And apart from Jesus, no freedom. Jesus plus nothing. So this book, Galatians, is really important to me. And I've been spending a lot of time in it, praying about it, studying it. And it's really begun to change the way I think about the gospel. It's taken foundational truths I've known for years, and just, why didn't I see it quite this way before? And I know that it will do that for you. Here's a picture that's hanging on my fridge, okay? This is trading cards from Emmanuel Bible College, where I went. I've got Julie Princess here, too. And so they put these out about a year ago with some alumni and create some buzz about the school. And so this says, discipline, a command and mastery of one's own behavior, mental, moral, physical, spiritual training. Obedience. And now on the surface, that seems like a really good quality to have. But I'll make a little bit of a confession to you. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, it's really easy for me and my personal makeup to do one of two things. One is to drift and be lazy. And the other is to become so disciplined or be so drawn to order and rules and regulations and all these things that I can become self-righteous. I can become judgmental. It's easy for me to enjoy seeing where things are controlled. I'm a rule keeper if I don't pay attention, or I'm just lazy otherwise. And so it becomes really dangerous for me when I think about the gospel, because being disciplined is good, right? We know that. It's a good quality. But if I place my faith and my standing with Jesus and how good a Christian I am on how disciplined I am, I'm doing the same thing that those Judaizers, those Jewish Christians who went into the Galatian church and said, you guys need to do all of these things. You need to be circumcised and follow the law and do all of this. I'm doing the same thing. Jesus set me free to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so for me, this book has had incredible impact. And I'll share that over the next weeks and months with you about some of the insights I've found, some of the insights you can find, and how that changes our heart and our mind about the gospel. Now, they struggled in the early church there, in the province of Galatia and elsewhere, with what do we do here? Jesus was a Jew. God gave the law in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law. Jesus came along, died, rose again, ascended. Holy Spirit has come. So do we throw out the old law, or do we keep it? What do we do with those who aren't Jewish? So should they become circumcised, and do they have to learn the law and the Ten Commandments? What are they doing? I'll guarantee we won't fight over the same things they did. Okay, they argued over circumcision. We're not going to argue about that, okay? But if we think about it metaphorically, okay, if when we read in the New Testament about Jewish people demanding that Gentiles be circumcised and learn the law, if metaphorically we think of circumcision as rules, religion, because some people will line up Christianity alongside every other world religion as if it's an option at a buffet. Christianity has nothing to do with religion at all. Nothing. It is not a religion. And I know some of us say, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. But I wonder if it's really impacted our hearts. And I'll guarantee you, as we look into the book of Galatians, we will find that probably for most of us, myself included, if I really look at myself, I really like being a legalist. I really enjoy religion because it's easier in some respects. And it's easier for me as a pastor to control and to keep you in my bounds if I'm leading a religion or if I say, this is the way, rather than following the leading of the Spirit. And we'll get into that. What does freedom mean? And doesn't it mean you'll sin more and all that stuff? We'll get there. Paul knew the churches of Galatia were being taught false teaching. Now, Paul is mad, okay? Jump back a little ways to where you're the foreman and your relative, your kid, your worker has been told to do something completely different. You show up back on the job site and it's done messed up. You're not going to be, I guess those parking spots will do. Maybe cars can get around the pole or that train won't really crash into that post. You're going to be mad and you're going to want to say something about it. Let's imagine those of you who had sent kids to school, okay, this past week. What if you found out in about a month's time that at school they were learning false history, backwards math, and that they were telling kids lies about Jesus, just blatant? Would you not speak up or you wouldn't just go, well, it's 1 year, maybe you'll get a better teacher next year. You'd speak up, wouldn't you? You'd say something. Paul is mad. In fact, in this letter, Paul is more scathing than anywhere else. In fact, some of the words he uses, if I use them with you, at best, I'd offend you. At worst, I'd get fired, hands down. Paul is mad, and so he jumps in, and he starts in right off the bat. And so today, just for the next couple minutes, and we're going a little longer this morning, I want to look at the first five verses of Galatians. But before we even get there, so if you got your Bibles with you, turn to Galatians 1:1-5. And I want to read the introduction to the message. Now, if you don't know what the message is a paraphrase of the Bible. It's not a direct translation, but it sometimes aids in our understanding. And Eugene Peterson, a scholar, writes an introduction to each book, and he has just a great summary for the book of Galatians that sums up everything I've just said. Okay? I want to read that to you. When men and women get their hands on religion, one of the first things they often do is turn it into an instrument for controlling others, either putting or keeping them in their place. The history of such religious manipulation and coercion is long and tedious. It is little wonder that people who have only known religion on such terms experience release or escape from it as freedom. The problem is that that freedom turns out to be short-lived. Paul of Tarsus was doing his diligent best to add yet another chapter to this dreary history when he was converted by Jesus to something radically and entirely different. A free life in God. Through Jesus, Paul learned that God was not an impersonal force to be used to make people behave in a certain prescribed way, but a personal Savior who set us free to live a free life. God did not coerce us from without, but sets us free from within. It was a glorious experience, and Paul set off telling others, introducing and inviting everyone he met into this free life. In his early travels, he founded a series of churches in the Roman province of Galatia. A few years later, Paul learned that religious leaders of the old school had come into those churches, called his views and authority into question, and were reintroducing the old ways, herding all these freedom-loving Christians back into the corral of religious rules and regulations. Paul was, of course, furious. He was furious with the old guard for coming with their strong-arm religious tactics and intimidating the Christians into giving up their free life in Jesus. But he was also furious with the Christians for caving into the intimidation. His letter to the Galatian churches helps them and us recover the original freedom. It also gives direction to the nature of God's gift of freedom, most necessary for guidance. For freedom is a delicate and subtle gift, easily perverted and often squandered. So Galatians chapter 1 from the Message. I, Paul, and my companions in faith here send greetings to the Galatian churches. My authority for writing you does not come from any popular vote of the people, nor does it come through the appointment of some human higher up. It comes directly from Jesus the Messiah and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. I'm God commissioned, so I greet you with the great words of grace and peace. We know the meaning of those words because Jesus Christ rescued us from this evil world we're in by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. God's plan is that we all experience that rescue. Glory to God forever. Oh yes, or amen. Right off the bat, Paul jumps in. In every other letter, Paul gives some greetings and salutations, and he thanks God for those people he's writing, often a church he's planted or someone he knows. And he doesn't give any thanksgiving here. He jumps right in. He lets them know who he is and by what authority he speaks. He's not just some guy making up stuff. He was commissioned by Jesus. Now, in a future week, we're going to talk all about Paul and how he is an apostle. Apostle means sent one, and there were only 12 apostles. Okay, that's the original disciples we know them as, the 12, and Judas betrayed Jesus, and he was replaced by Matthias. They voted Matthias in and sought God for who that would be. And Paul calls himself an apostle as well, and he is commissioned by Jesus because of his salvation experience and because Jesus rescued him and met him on the Damascus Road. If you're looking for that story, look at Acts 9. We'll talk more detail in a future week about that. But Paul says, look, I'm not just some guy coming to you, telling you you have to be circumcised and do all these Jewish things. I am sent by Jesus, and I preach the gospel. I have the word of God in my heart, and I've taught you the right thing. You need to believe in what I'm saying. And so it's the same with us. We need to listen up to what Paul is saying in the book of Galatians. In fact, some scholars have called Galatians the Magna Carta, or the most clear evidence and declaration of freedom in all of Scripture for Christians. Second only to Romans, really, in Paul's teaching of what the gospel really is. It's very clear. It's six short chapters. So look into Acts 9, look into Galatians. Verse 3 to 5, he brings up three terms that we need to understand. He says, grace, peace, and glory. And as we go through this series, you will build on your understanding of these three terms, not only head knowledge, but heart knowledge and hand knowledge. What do I mean by that? You'll have an understanding so that you can believe it, so that you can live it. It's no use that we sit here and talk and sing and all that stuff if it doesn't affect our heart and our actions. So the book of Galatians isn't just about heady knowledge about the gospel, the good news. What does it mean to come to Jesus? How do we place faith in Jesus? And how do we follow Jesus? It's an active thing, but it is scathing and it is deep. So he speaks about these three important words. So I greet you with the great words, grace and peace. And then he goes on to explain grace without saying, here's the definition of grace. So here's the definition of grace. We know the meaning of those words because Jesus Christ rescued us from this evil world wherein by offering himself as a sacrifice for sins. Now we'll build a better definition of grace as we go. But grace simply means an undeserved gift and the power to live that gift out. Okay? Grace means an undeserved gift that Jesus came, sacrificed for our sins, took our death and sins on himself, gives us his life, and empowers us through his Holy Spirit to live a free life in him. That is grace, undeserved. Peace. Paul continues, God's plan is that we all experience that rescue. That's peace. Being rescued from the slavery of sin so that you're set free and at peace with God. Peace, lasting peace. Jesus says, I give you peace, not the same way that the world gives. And finally, he closes with the glory. Glory to God forever. Our mission as Christians is to glorify God in everything we do. And so Paul says, glory to God forever. May everything we do, say, think, feel, bring you glory. Everything. So here's what I want to encourage you to do as we start out. Three things, okay? Keep coming, catch up, and dig in, okay? So keep coming. It's an intensely important book. And if you're at all able, keep coming. And if you can't come, catch up. Read yourself. Go online. Hear the messages. It's not just me preaching all the time. And dig in. Read for yourself. You gotta read for yourself. 6 short chapters. Start today. Start reading it through. Read it multiple times so that by the time I get there, you can say, actually, I read it and you don't have it quite right. That would be awesome. Wouldn't that be great? I think that would be a lot of fun. Really uncomfortable, but a lot of fun. Here's some other resources that have really impacted me. Some of them directly related with Galatians, some others not. Crossways Life is an organization from Kitchener here. A few people have been connected with them. We brought them in to do the Grace Life Conference last year. If at all you can connect with some of their resources, they have great resources to help you understand this freedom in Christ thing, the focus of the book of Galatians. The Naked Gospel by Andrew Farley. Wonderful book. In fact, anyone who's preaching through this series, I've required them that they read it. Randall preaches in 2 weeks. He better get reading. And Timothy Keller, if you're looking for a commentary that's not too heady, a commentary just explains the Bible a bit more, Timothy Keller has written a wonderful book that just makes it in layman's terms. I don't agree totally with all his takes on everything, but it's a good read. And the other one is Jesus plus Nothing Equals Everything. Now, I haven't totally read that book, so I can't fully recommend it, but I'm almost working through it. I'm almost done it. So, maybe you can read it and tell me if you like it. So the other thing you can do is get involved in a small group. We've talked about that before. Some of our small groups will be not necessarily going through Galatians, but every week going through a question or two as we go through this so we can wrestle. I want you to fully understand. I'll invite the worship team up as I close here. I want you to all of you, okay? I want you to fully understand the freedom of the gospel, okay? I think at the bottom of my heart, I think many of us here have been doing it wrong. I think some of us who've been in church all our life, some of us have missed the freedom of the gospel. Some of us have no idea at all. Others of you aren't following Jesus, and I encourage you to seek him. He will be found, and he wants to offer you life and freedom. It's my full, wholehearted belief that God wants to set us free, not just as a community, but as individuals and as homes and families. The gospel, the good news, and not just something we hear and believe and then we put aside. It's something we live every day as followers of Jesus. The gospel, the true gospel, the free gospel is important. And I'm convinced that many of us have been doing it wrong. And I trust that as you dig in and as you spend time with God and as we journey together, that you will understand what freedom in Christ is all about. Would you stand as we sing?